went to go pick it up Monday. Too long, and I never saw a key. I'm like, apparently this didn't take much time. Because I didn't even know it was even out. So yes, it was running from one, the back of the other post office to the front of the other post office to then the main post office. That one happened. These lights are making me angry. And then it says in my notifications, because I get an email notification each day saying what's expected. It says it's awaiting from the sender. I was like, it's the same tracking. It says it was delivered on Saturday, and now it's awaiting from the sender. Tell me if she sent it back.
The time is now 6:01. I now call the Town of Castle Rock Planning Commission meeting of December 11th, 2025 to order. I'll ask the recording secretary to take the roll call.
Chair Warnke?
Here.
Vice Chair McHugh?
Here.
Commissioner Martinez? Commissioner Samuelson? Commissioner Salinas?
Here.
Commissioner Stanley?
Here.
Commissioner Sawin?
Here.
Town Council Liaison Meyer Gray. Staff in attendance, Brad Boland.
Present.
Sandy Vossler. Brianna Grandy.
Here.
Mike Hyman.
Here.
Tara Vargish.
Here.
Matt Roth.
Here.
Matt Hayes.
Here.
John LaSala.
Here.
Amber Melendez.
Here.
And Carissa Alstrom here.
All members of the commission are present, with the exception of commission member Martinez and Samuelson, who are absent. Mr. Boland, has this meeting and agenda been noticed in accordance with the requirements of the open meetings law?
It has.
Thank you. Minutes from the November 13th, 2025 Planning Commission meeting have been distributed to the commission. If there are no changes, additions, or deletions to the minutes, a motion to accept the minutes as presented will be accepted. Do we have a motion?
I'll motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Recording secretary, please take the roll call vote.
Chair Warnke?
Yes, aye.
Vice Chair McHugh?
Aye.
Commissioner Salinas?
Aye.
Commissioner Stanley?
Aye.
Commissioner Sawin.
Aye.
The motion is approved by a vote of 5-0. Public hearing items. PC 2025-029, Canyon's Far South Development Site Development Plan. 409 acres located southeast of the intersection of Crowfoot Valley Road and Founders Parkway. The commission must evaluate this proposal under criteria established under the municipal code as summarized in the staff report. The commission will hear from the staff, applicants, and the public. Does any commission member have a conflict of interest or any other matter he or she would like to disclose prior to proceeding on this item? Seeing none, public comments will be taken on all items and speakers will be limited to 4 minutes per speaker. The commission has also accepted written comments to be entered into the record. Ms. Grant, has your application been properly noticed for review in accordance with the municipal code?
Yes, it has.
Great. Do you wish to enter the staff report and presentation into the public record?
Yes, please.
All right. Please begin.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair and Commission members. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you this evening the proposed site development plan for Canyons Far South to you this evening. This site development plan is 515 units that is located in the Canyons Far South Zoning District. The 409-acre property is located southeast of the intersection of Crowfoot Valley Road and Founders Parkway. On March 7th of 2023, the Town Council approved the annexation and zoning of this property. The property was zoned Canyons Far South Plan Development Plan with a total of 474 single-family units. In early 2025, the applicant applied for an administrative amendment, which is allowed in the town's code. As part of the public input process during this site development plan review, the applicant reevaluated residential areas in order to provide an increased buffer along the northern county development property line. This amendment adjusted open space boundaries along the northern portion of the property, increased the permitted number of residential units from 474 to 515 units, and increased the open space areas by 6.82 acres. The increase in units was absorbed within internal areas to offset the reduction in the larger lots on the northern area of the plan. The proposed site development plan is developed in accordance with the proposed amended zoning, which includes 439 single-family detached units shown in yellow, and then 76 paired units shown in orange. The proposed site development plan also includes over 238 acres, or approximately 58% of the overall site as open space and public land dedication. The proposed project includes 47.7 acres of an open space parcel that was dedicated to the town in 2023 as part of the annexation that is shown in green on the left-hand side of the project area. Additionally, the site development plan proposes a 13.8 acre town-owned passive park in the center of the development, also shown in green. The site development plan sets aside 12.5 acres of commercial land shown in blue. This area will require future development plans, site development plans, when the commercial development is proposed. This project had a total of 4 neighborhood meetings. These meetings discussed a variety of topics, including increased traffic, buffers adjacent to existing developments, drainage, roadway connections to Mecanta and terrain developments, along with timing and construction impacts. The development of the property will generate review fees, development impact, and use tax fees typical for a residential development. Based on the proposed 515 units with an average size of 2,500 square feet, staff estimates the project will generate approximately $41 million in impact and system development fees. Site development plans are evaluated on 5 main criteria for conformance with the town's municipal code. All staff and external comments have been addressed. Staff finds that the proposed SDP is consistent with the goals and objectives of the town's guiding documents. The development complies with the Canyons Far South zoning and meets the municipal code for site development plan criteria and town's technical criteria. Staff is recommending that Planning Commission recommend approval of the site development plan to Town Council. Town Council meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, December 16th. The proposed motions were included in your staff report and shown on the screen. This concludes staff's presentation. We're available for any questions you may have. Otherwise, the applicant is also here tonight and has a detailed presentation for you as well.
Should we proceed with applicant presentation before questions? All right. We'd like to call the applicant forward. Please turn on the microphone, and we're ready.
Good evening. Good evening, Commissioners. Alan Cunningham with PCS Group, 200 Kalamath Street, Denver, 80223. PCS Group is the planner and landscape architect on the project, working with Hines. So a quick overview on what we'll go through, quick introductions, and then we'll go through the commitments coming with the SDP, some detail on the site development plan itself. We'll talk about some connectivity and infrastructure associated with the SDP, open space, parks and trails, some sustainability components, and then some of the community stewardship. As Brianna mentioned, we've had 4 neighborhood meetings to get to this point. So with me tonight are Chad Murphy and Richard Cross with Hines, the owner of the property. Brian Moss with Cover 3 Engineering, our civil engineer, is here. Chris McGranahan with LSC Transportation is here, our traffic engineer. And Andrea Horvath with Otten Johnson, our land use attorney, is also present. So hopefully between us, we can answer any questions you have after the presentation. Just in terms of timing, I'm sure you guys are pretty aware, but this project's been sort of in the works in different capacities for quite some time. Back around 2000, it was part of the greater Canyons Master Plan, which then it became part of the Canyon South property in Douglas County. And then in 2023, as Brianna mentioned, the property was annexed and zoned in the town of Castle Rock. That was by a different entity. And then Hines purchased the property, I think it was in August of 2023, and we began working on the site development plan at that point in time, in December, I think, so 2 years ago, in working through the site development plan to, so we're excited to be before you tonight to go through this. I'll go just quickly through these. You saw the context from Brianna. It's about 2.5 miles east of I-25, generally between Founders and Castle Oaks Drive, and to the south of Macanta and sitting to the north of Terrain. This one just zooms in a little bit on that. You can see where the lotting in Macanta is shown to the north, and then the existing homes in Terrain to the south of the property. So in terms of the commitment that comes with this site development plan, all the way through from what was established with the approved PDP, you know, we worked hard to respect the honor and honor the land's natural character and the surrounding communities to us, and to utilize best practices with the design. As you know, the SDP is working through the detailed design to sort of bring that PDP to fruition. And we do so to provide needed housing in a constrained market, and then to provide some tangible benefits in terms of a large amount of open space and buffering that comes with the community, as well as an important connector roadway through the community, and I'll get into that in a little bit more detail as well. So with that, new homes being provided within the zoning that's approved on the property. We'll be meeting Castle Rock's enhanced water requirements, and I'll touch on that a little bit later too. As mentioned by Brianna, there's over 238 acres, or 58% of the property in parks and open space. There'll be improved life-saving emergency response times with the connector road that runs through the middle of Canyons Far South. We've done so in a way that with these large buffers, we believe are compatible with our neighboring communities, and also been able to preserve with that large open space some wildlife corridors in the area. Within the neighborhood park, there's going to be four different parks within here. There's three that are neighborhood parks that will ultimately be HOA maintained and owned, and then there's a large town community park in the center. So neighborhood park one, this one's to the north. I think it's about 2.9 acres, or maybe it was 2.4. It's in planning area number one. It's shown on the plan, highlighted in red. Consider it as a somewhat typical neighborhood park, playground structures for different age groups within the community, shade structure, seating areas, a multi-purpose small area for play, and trail connectivity throughout, with enhanced planting as well. The second park is right around 4 acres. It's in the center of the community across the road from the proposed town park. This one would be where a community gathering amenity type area would be proposed, with an outdoor pool, has an off-street parking area, multiple seating areas, trail connectivity, and a multi-purpose area for kids' soccer, those sorts of things. The third neighborhood park is in planning area four. And it's very similar to the first one I showed you in planning area one. It's a pretty good sized property. Areas are spread out, and so another park with playground equipment, swings, those sorts of things for children within the community, given the relative distance between the two. The central town park, you can see in the key map above, central to the community, which works out very well because it's located along the main collector road that goes through the community. As mentioned, it's a 13-acre site. It was located in this area. You can see on the larger plan to the bottom left, you can see some white area in there. There's some unique rock outcroppings on the property, and that was largely why it was chosen to be situated here, for those rock outcroppings and the natural open space. We've worked with Parks and Recreation staff on the design of the park. It'd be mostly natural in its orientation. Different trail connectivity through scenic overlook on the rock outcrop. And in terms of more programmed active area, there is a artificial turf area at the upper part of the park above the rock outcroppings, as you can see, with area for a volleyball area, shade structure, some tables as well. This one also has an off-street parking area. With respect to the site development plan itself, the property is 409 acres. It's 515 units with a mix of detached and attached, with the small area of paired homes. It'll be bringing about 7.5 miles of new trail connections in the form of concrete multi-use paths and soft surface trails, the 238 acres of open space, the 13-plus acre town park in the center, wildlife protection with the large corridor on the northern side of the property. There'll ultimately be a new signal along Founders Parkway when warranted, and it'll be a phased development. As Brianna also mentioned, there is the future commercial parcel that's included in the PDP but not a part of this SDP that will require its own SDP process in the future. The plan itself, three different product types. Brianna kind of walked through the PDP amendment that occurred as we've been going through the SDP. In discussions with builders, they wanted a little bit more product segmentation, and that was the impetus behind bringing the paired homes in so that there was a little bit more product segmentation. And in here you can see the lighter color lots on the northern side are 65-foot estate type lots. The middle color on the southern side of the community would be your more traditional 50-foot lots, and then the darker orange is that area where the paired homes are proposed, central to the property near the amenity area and near the town park. Also shown in the bottom left is sort of in that bluish gray color, 47.7 acres that has already been dedicated to the town of Castle Rock for open space along Founders Parkway. This overview is somewhat similar to the last. You can see the future lots here shown in white, the parks that we have spoken about before. It does show the proposed connector slash collector roadway through the community that you can see going up to the north. That will connect into Macanta, run through the Canyons Far South development, and ultimately down to Castle Oaks Drive. So in terms of that connectivity, all of the roads within Canyons Far South will be public roads. That aforementioned connector roadway has been part of this, the entitlements of this property for a long time. It's a Castle Rock fire requirement to provide that connection down to Castle Oaks Drive. They felt it was really important for improved connectivity, for life safety and emergency response time, so we're happy to be able to provide that with this. As mentioned, you can see the symbol there where the ultimate signalization will be on Founders, again, when warranted by traffic. And then also within the community, from a traffic calming standpoint, there's two roundabouts, one at the north side, one at the south, along that collector roadway, and there'll also be some pedestrian crossing flashing beacons where big trails within the community cross the internal roadways. So as mentioned, that connector through the community, it was the highest priority for Castle Rock Fire. As such, it will be part of the first phase of development of Canyons Far South. I mentioned the traffic calming, so we'll move on from this one. As part of the SDP, a full traffic study was done and worked through and reviewed with the town. You know, essentially, there was would have been one done originally with the PD. There was another one done with the SDP to just work through and make sure that any impacts from this community and traffic generated would be handled by existing, proposed, and then any required roadway improvements, and that is in fact the case. We created this slide at our neighborhood meeting recently. Drainages and gulches are still maintained in open space. So this image is looking sort of from the north towards Macanta over towards Canyons Far South to show the large open space corridor between the two communities. Along this section on the further west side, you're looking at separation between homes of about 700 feet and gets closer to 1,200 feet at this end. So it's a very large open space corridor, making sure that, you know, wildlife can still move within the area. On the southern side of the property, adjacent to terrain, part of the PD, there was work done in the PD to make sure that buffering was there from the existing homes. There's a minimum 300-foot setback requirement along that southern boundary to terrain, and that's being maintained with this SDP as it was approved in the PD. There's also some, as you can see on here, some berming and vegetation that's required, and all of that is in the landscape plans of the SDP as well to make sure it's compliant with the PD. In, Brianna had mentioned, just as things have evolved and units have moved, there was the cul-de-sac that's shown on the right side of this image evolved during the process, and so At our third neighborhood meeting, there was some discussion about that. And so a few things key to that were bringing that cul-de-sac, that it's still within planning area four, so it's included entirely within the planning area boundaries that are approved in the PD. You can see a couple dimensions on there of 825 feet and 471 feet, so that's the distance of separation to that cul-de-sac, so greatly exceeding that 300-foot requirement. And then you can see on this one, same slide basically, but it labels two different views. The next two slides I'll show you are just computer simulations from those points, and basically what you'll see when I start them is that it just moves vertically up in the air to show that there's a pretty large ridge in between the back of the train lots and this portion of the Canyons Far South community. And so the first one is view A, it's to the left, and then view B is the one to the right. So in A, kind of starting down at eye level at the back of those lots, as you move up in height, you'll see that the ridge that exists in between obscures those homes down to ground level, and then you start to see them come into view as you move up in the air. And so that cul-de-sac I was just talking about are those homes far off in the distance to the right. View B being the one down at the end of the lots within terrain, same setup. The ridge is actually higher in between the properties in this location. So you're really getting up in the air, and then you start to see the visibility of where those homes sit. So just a couple other graphics as we looked and worked along this southern side. This one shows the separation at various points between the homes on that cul-de-sac and the terrain homes. Those are dimensions shown in green. And then also added to this in white are, you can see the white dotted line with various elevations along the back of the lots in terrain. And then the other line, the white line further up, is essentially where that ridge line of natural grade runs in between the two. And you can, without going through every point, basically that ridge line's anywhere from 11 to 40 feet above the back of those lots. This is information that's extrapolated from Google Earth, so it could be plus or minus a little bit based on the accuracy of the Google Earth terrain. But that's what those elevations in white are shown. And then you can see that the homes on that cul-de-sac are actually cut down to a lower level of grade on the other side of that ridge. It was mentioned in that third neighborhood meeting that, you know, it was, I'd say there might have been a little skepticism about 3D modeling and is that going to be accurate. And so we committed to go out and test this in the field. And so what we did was our surveyors staked that lot, the closest lot that would be on the end of that cul-de-sac in the field. We looked at the civil CDs and engineering plans, and at that location, ultimately finished grade would be about 11 feet a cut. So it would be 11 feet below. So we placed a 24 foot tall pole. So that 24 feet plus the 11 feet to get to finished grade would represent the max home height of 35 feet. And then, so that location of the pole, you can see in orange on the right side, we went down along the property line at the lower part of that hill, looking back up towards the pole, and we were unable to see it. So that kind of exercise in the field seemed to validate the work we had done with the 3D modeling and confirming that that ridge in between would in fact basically hide those homes, at least from eye level as you were looking back in that direction. So I added in section 1738.040, the approval criteria for the SDP. I won't go through these verbatim. I know they're summarized by Brianna in the staff report. And so there's three pages of them. So suffice it to say, we agree with staff that the SDP is meeting the approval criteria and is consistent with town code and with the approved PDP for the property. And so, just two more slides. So in summary, we believe we're bringing an SDP to you that, as I said, is compliant with the approved PDP and with town standards. It's 515 homes detached and some paired home attached on the 409 acres. There's over 58% of the property in open space, 47.7 of which has already been dedicated to the town of Castle Rock, another 13.8 which will be dedicated as the town park. And then the surrounding open space will also be owned by the town. There's wildlife corridor protection, an additional about 10 miles of multipurpose trails, soft surface trails, and bike lanes, and substantial buffering to the adjacent properties. And then lastly, yesterday we did, Brianna had forwarded some public comments already received. So just a kind of quick excerpt, just to touch on those. There was kind of three main points in those few emails we got. The first was relative to public safety and access, mostly pertaining to Crowfoot Valley Road as it being dangerous. So just wanted to point out to the public a couple of things. Douglas County, I believe, will be constructing a full traffic signal at Crowfoot Valley Road in Macanta in 2026, so that will be great. I believe the town of Castle Rock will be completing the widening of Crowfoot from Founders up to Sapphire Point. And then, as previously mentioned, with this development, Canyons Far South will be providing that connector roadway from Macanta down to Castle Oaks Drive, which will greatly improve emergency response times as a requirement of Castle Rock Fire. The second point was that community services are stretched thin and that they're overwhelmed. As you guys know, as we worked through these processes and applications, would have started in 2023 with the annexation and zoning. Town service providers are referral agencies. They review the applications from that time through the SDP to make sure that services are available and that any impacts would be mitigated or that subsequent improvements would be provided. So those service providers have been in the loop since this project came into the town. And at this point, the SDPs, you know, were providing the detail to show how that will all come to fruition. And then lastly, the other main point of them was loss of community character. There was some concern that the town's rapidly losing open spaces and the distinct character that makes it special. And, you know, I think we touched on it many times in here. I think bringing this SDP forward with 58% open space, I don't know that this one's falls into that category because that's a pretty substantial amount of open space that's coming with this SDP. So with that, we will turn it over to answer any questions you guys might have.
Thank you. Before we move on, we have any questions?
Yeah.
You want to start?
Yeah, great presentation. Sorry I was a few minutes late. Traffic was bad. You addressed the traffic concern. I appreciate that. Construction traffic, has that been determined kind of how that's going to flow in and out? Is it kind of through the main road corridor? Is there some sort of construction access happening there? I know it's a tough way in.
Yeah, we haven't got to that point yet.
Okay.
I presume that largely it would use the Founders entrance, but we haven't really gotten to that point yet.
Okay. All right, good. And then I noticed in the their sidewalk variance, admitting the 8-foot wide concrete sidewalk on the one side, what's the proposed natural soft surface trail material that they're considering? Any idea on that? Is it more of like an aggregate or like some sort of like, you know, that
I'd have to check for sure. I think we had at one point, I don't remember if it stayed crusher fines when we had proposed that. Largely the town staff, the parks and recreation staff, almost prefers just natural surface trails. I know that's a lot of what's out there. That specific one you're asking about, I don't recall. I just know that we were trying to respect the character of that large open space that was already deeded to the town, and it didn't make a lot of sense to just put a walk right paralleling that through there when we had so much open space to work with, and so we wanted a more natural trail that meandered through there. And so staff agreed that given the character for that long distance on that side of the road, that would make more sense.
Okay. I think we have staff that can answer that.
Yes, and those will be dirt natural surface trails that meet the town's criteria.
Thank
Great.
You.
Okay, that's all I've got for right now.
Anything on this side? All good for now? Okay. The signal, I just wanted to clarify, that would be going in by the commercial district when that happens. Who's paying for that?
The developer will be.
Okay. And you said that would be then based upon traffic needs, right?
Yeah, whenever it's warranted by traffic.
Is that scheduled? And what would warranted by traffic? I mean, just a base rough idea here of what that means.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be when certain traffic counts are met. Chris can certainly come up and speak to that better than I can.
Thank you, Al. Chris McGranahan with LSC Transportation Consultants. We did the traffic study for the various traffic studies for the project. There's a very specific set of traffic signal warrants in the manual uniform traffic control devices. Both town staff and CDOT use that manual. So not only do we have to convince your staff, we have to convince CDOT. And CDOT typically doesn't allow a signal to go in until it's warranted. So there's lots of ways that you can meet a warrant. The most obvious way is traffic volume. Either peak hour, 4 hour, 8 hour warrant. My guess is this would be a 4 or 8 hour warrant, but it could be several years before that warrant's met. So not uncommon up and down Founders, there's been a lot of intersections that took a while to be signalized. So this we'll just monitor this as we go through the process and work with CDOT and your staff to figure out when that warrant is actually triggered. And then as Al said, we'll be responsible for putting that design together and getting that built.
So if I understand you, and maybe a little more plain English for someone like me, there is a trigger that would be set that would be in conjunction with CDOT. They would monitor that in conjunction with what's going on. And it would be all parties that would agree that trigger's been met, it's time for it to be built.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
By the way, what was the date of the most recent traffic study?
It was about a year ago.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I was gonna wait for public comment, but if we're going into this topic anyways, I'll just ask my questions now. Can we go to the chart that showed the different intersections with the numbering scheme? I think that was most helpful for me. I think it was in this package.
It was somewhere.
There it is.
Yeah,
that one. Okay, so number 6 that we're talking about with Founders and Embark, that's the one that we were just talking about, right? That someday you would need a traffic signal.
Yes.
I was just looking at the staff report, and right now it's talking about someday you might need a traffic signal, but for now it could be a signal or a roundabout. Is that correct? Would you ever really put a roundabout in this location?
John LaSala in our Public Works group can speak to that.
Okay, thanks.
Hello. As I mentioned before, Chris had mentioned, Founders is a state highway 86, so it's CDOT roadway. It's subject to not only town review, any type of intersection, also to CDOT review. I would guess it's highly unlikely that CDOT would want a roundabout on state highway 86. I could be wrong. But we would cross that bridge at that time when the warrants were met.
Okay, and is that Embark Avenue? I apologize for my, that I don't know this, but that's not already an existing roadway, right? That's the roadway that would go in when you start developing this. So can you also walk me through the analysis you did to choose that location on Founders, given the turn that you have going right into that street?
Well, it was a long process, but you'll see on the plan up there that number 6 is roughly between the curves. It's on that east-west tangent section, which helps with the visibility. And we also are required to have sufficient spacing by CDOT. So we have to be far enough east from Crowfoot and far enough west from the future intersections to the south. And so this was a great place to put an access point because it met that sweet spot of being far enough away from the other future signals or existing signals, and also being on one of the few relatively straight spots, the only straight spot on our frontage.
Okay, yeah, help me with that, because I guess, when I'm driving that road and picturing it, I would assume that it would have been better if I'm heading that direction to be before the turn to have better visibility instead of after the turn and causing congestion there, but maybe I'm not thinking about this right.
Yeah, our proposed location there, you can kind of see it on this graphic. It's basically between curves. It's on the east-west tangent section that goes east-west directly. And so our intersection is basically a 90-degree intersection, as opposed to if we put it on the curve, it wouldn't be 90 degrees, or there'd be a curve. So
yeah, and
the
I
other
guess there's
challenge
not an opportunity
is,
to do it before the curve, yeah, because that's the space that you're saying you're not developing or putting a roadway in.
Yeah, well, the other thing we have to account for here is there could be an access across the street, and you really don't want an access on the inside of a curve if you don't have to.
Okay.
And so we would be on the outside of the curve if we moved it to the east, but then we would put our future neighbors to the southwest on the inside of the curve, which isn't great. And so this was the location that was picked. You know, it's CDOT was consulted on it. We had an access, we have access permit. We have to get permission from CDOT to put this access here, whether it's signalized or not.
Okay.
And so we went quite a ways back and forth with CDOT over the years.
Okay, but it's not concerning to you the amount of distance. You think you have enough distance between the curb and that road to have visibility to it, people slowing down to turn?
Yeah, we feel it's fine at the planning level. Obviously, in the design plans, that gets rechecked and rechecked. But at the planning level, we feel it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. And to clarify, that checkoff also goes through CDOT, correct?
Correct, yeah. We'll have several turn lanes here, and they'll be quite long.
And if I could just add one thing, Commissioner Staley. I think, I must have missed it, but I'm assuming there's a pretty decent D-cell lane and Excel lane as you kind of come in and out. So limiting a little bit of the potential of slamming on the brakes when someone decides to turn in.
Yeah, and the thought is that those turn lanes will almost certainly have to be done up front.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, it would be a condition of the SIA, right? Something like that.
Okay, thanks for highlighting that, Commissioner Martinez. That's something that's not there yet today, but would be the first thing that would be developed.
Cool. And one thing to add, do you know if it's going to affect the speed limit on Founders? Is it going to remain 45?
I wouldn't expect it to. Yeah, we get a lot of our clients that would like to see a lower speed limit because the turn lanes get shorter. But CDOT has a process for setting speed limits, and every time we ask them to lower a speed limit, they won't just do it because we ask. They do a speed study, which means they go out and measure the speeds. And usually the traffic is traveling at the speed limit that people think are too high, so they leave it alone. So we wouldn't expect there to be a change here.
Okay. Other comments?
Just one quick question. What is the ideal timeline for building this whole development out? If you could guess. I know there's a lot of...
2 years?
The planner will try and... Yeah, the idea one might be 2 years, but given current market conditions, there's no builder in tow right now, so it's not like that there's somebody ready to get cranking and go vertical. So, you know, market conditions are always play into those types of decisions. And it's a pretty big property, obviously, so it's going to need to be phased just to get through the collector roadway, get the horizontal infrastructure in before anything could even go vertical. So I know that doesn't really answer your question because I think market conditions are ultimately going to dictate, you know, how quickly things will proceed. Okay. If we make it through and get the approvals on the SDP, they'll start in the spring of next year with some of that work.
That answer. As far as the requirement for water, both water usage and the water that you're bringing, understanding is the Castle Rock requirement is that you supply renewable water. Mm-hmm. So that is already part of the plan, correct?
Correct. We've worked with Castle Rock Water on that end at the... I believe it's when plats get recorded and such that has to be secured and facilitated and worked through with Castle Rock Water. But yes, they'll be buying renewable water to bring to the town.
Okay. And then the yard requirements, that is then the 500 square foot max front, which conforms with the town requirement, correct?
Correct. In working on the water efficiency plan, we worked closely with the town and Castle Rock Water to make sure that, you know, everything was compliant with the new Colorado scape and the max turf in the backyard of the 500 feet, regardless of size and all of that. So yes, that's all included.
Okay. And then I have one last question. You mentioned a wildlife protection corridor.
So, I mean, it's not defined with an easement, but in working through, even before us with the PDP for the annexation and rezoning and then SDP, Colorado Department of Wildlife is a referral agent. They made sure things were reviewed, and through that whole process, it was largely how the planning areas were defined where they were to make sure that large enough open space corridors were preserved for wildlife movement. And then going through this SDP, they were also a referral agency. And if anything, that northern area grew a little bit. We, going through it, when that PDP amendment happened, we actually pulled the planning areas from PA2, that northern edge, back. So the open space actually increased a little bit on that side of the property. So ensuring that large corridor between Macanta and the northern side of this would remain contiguous and as open space for wildlife.
And then drops down across to that northeast section that tails out across, correct?
Yeah.
So you're talking about that whole north section and then drops to that northeast, the track curls back around towards Macanta's Regional Park when it comes in, correct?
Right, and it ties, I mean, that all is open space that ties in through McMurdo Gulch and over into the Douglas County open space, so.
Right.
Yeah, that was important for CDW working with them, and we made sure that was maintained in the SDP.
And then the connector road, once again, is connecting to Macanta internally, so that that southwest section of Macanta can drop into your northwest piece, correct, right?
Correct.
And then drop out to where the stoplight is?
Correct.
And then drops back around over down towards?
All the way down to Castle Oaks.
Right.
Yeah.
For which there currently is not a connector road, right?
Correct. There is not, and you can see that ultimately, not part of this project, but where on the screen where number 7 is, that's where the southern roundabout is, and that's planned. Ultimately, Castle Oaks will, with other portions of the terrain development in that area, Castle Oaks will get realigned eventually and work its way through that roundabout. The obligations worked through with development agreements with the town need to get to that area, and then there's a small connector from the roundabout down to the current position of Castle Oaks, but ultimately, at some point in the future by others, that will get realigned.
Right, so that would provide Macanta an escape route there on their southwest side that they don't have, and provide you guys as well a flow out through your southeast section, correct?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
And again, just that has been a requirement of Castle Rock Fire, right, that this connection be made kind of through the whole entire process of this property.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Other questions before we go on to this point? All right. This is a public hearing and is now open to, oh, by the way, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. This is a public hearing and now open to public comment. When I call your name, do we have a list? None? Okay. Should I keep reading or should I jump to the next section? I'll keep reading while we take a look. When I call your name, please step forward to the microphone and clearly state your name, whether you are a resident or non-resident, your association with the application before the commission, and any financial or personal interest you may have with the application. If you have not signed up ahead of time, you'll have an opportunity to speak after we've gone through the list. In the interest of time, your comments are limited to 4 minutes. Please note this is a time for you to provide comments to the commission for our consideration. The commission will not address questions at this time. However, we may ask staff or the applicant to provide follow-up information at the end of the comment period. I do have one person signed up. So when I call your name, please step forward. How are you, Karen?
Good. How are you?
Good to see you.
I know you didn't call my name, but I figured I'm the only one signed up.
Yeah, so Karen Johnson. I make sure the mic's on. I know you know the process from here.
Thank you, Chair and Planning Commission. Appreciate the opportunity. Sorry I couldn't make the last neighborhood meeting where it would have been probably beneficial to ask some of my questions because I don't really have, quote, comment. I have questions. So this whole sidewalk. So my background, as you know, I was a town council member 2018 to 2022. So I saw this project coming through the pipeline part of the way. And back then there was the sidewalk that was going to be connecting all the way down Founders to Crowfoot Valley. And I was really looking forward to that huge connection all the way down so I could ride, you know, my bike down there, and many others that I talk with would really have enjoyed the opportunity to ride all the way down Founders and connect. I know they would cross over Founders at Crowfoot and take the sidewalk, likely, because there's no sidewalk where in front of Metzler. Open space, but I really send, and I know you're getting in lieu, but this is really something that I really would like to hear more about and find out if there's anything that can be done, or I really want to know what my options are. I want a paved connection that I can get down that area, and so to me, I'm going to have to go through this development on the proposed Macanta connection, over to Crowfoot, go down the hill, cross over that way, although I do like to go Crowfoot Valley north. So I'd like to know more about those connections, the paved connection for bicycles. And as a bicyclist, typically riding the sidewalk is not something, it's not as safe. Riding in the roadway is safer because if I have to stop at each intersection on a bicycle, especially a tandem bicycle, it is not fun. It's not fun. Then my other question is related to previously knowing this. I thought there was going to be some realignment of Castle Oaks, and I'd like to see if I could find out more information about that. So those are my questions. Like I said, they're really questions, not comments. But, you know, just thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Karen. I do believe you have a slide. There's did show bikes, bike paths.
Sure, do you, we're happy to address any questions or comments maybe after public comment or however you'd like to do it.
Oh, that's right.
In case
got
there's
one more
some
second
other
to go.
Questions.
My
in
fault.
Case other
my fault. My
questions.
Fault. Yeah. If there's anyone who did not sign up but wishes to speak, please step forward to the microphone. Again, we'd ask you to state your name, whether you are a resident or non-resident, in any association with the application, and any financial or personal interest you may have with the application. Your comments are limited to 4 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to step forward? Awesome. Thank you. Oh, wait, we do have one? Sorry, I missed you. Please.
Not sure I got all the directions, but Barry Lyon. I'm a resident of Macanta, no financial interest. Anything else?
Thank you. That's it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'd be interested in knowing if there's any, is there interest, I guess, first of all, in any type of deterrent from people using Macanta Boulevard as kind of like a shortcut from Crowfoot Valley over to this area of Founders versus dropping down to the light and then back up. If they're, and so, it, yeah, what would we be doing to make sure that it just doesn't become a major thoroughfare, or is that the plan for it to become a major thoroughfare? If it were to become a major thoroughfare, what would be done for safety in Macanta because it cuts right through the neighborhood? The other one that I was wondering, it was interesting to hear about the intention to protect trees on site and overall protect the runoff. I'd be very interested in learning more about that. McCurdo Gulch, there's a lot of wildlife. There's also a lot of historic value. If you walk down along the bottom of the gulch, you see artifacts from the CCC during the Great Depression. Where they built structures that are still in place today. And so what's in place to protect that and keep like land from sliding down into those areas or unnecessary amount of trees being taken out? So those would be my interest areas. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? All right. Sorry, I am moving too quickly.
Public speaking, so I'm shaking, and help me through the questions. My name is Sarah Dahl. I'm a resident of Macanta, and I am on the south end, essentially where one of the photos where they were saying Macanta is this close to the new development, I'm there. I don't have any financial benefit or anything from this. Is that everything? Okay. My question, as I look out and I see, and I know we're so far along in the process, but I've been actually in the back end watching things. How long ago was the wildlife study? I'm shaking, my gosh. The reason I ask is, I wouldn't say daily, but minimum weekly, we see elk, deer, and I know it was mentioned that there's the path for wildlife to walk through. A lot of that is actually vertical space. So the elk don't walk through there, the deer don't walk through there. And I've seen personally, and I have on my phone and I have on our Facebook page, over 200 elk during times when, mothers have recently had their babies, things along those lines. Again, I know we're too far along in the process to say move things and whatnot. I was just curious how far back the study was to make sure that it's still relevant and valuable today based on what's being proposed.
That's it?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, anyone else? And I'll take my time before I move on. We have a couple more. Let's start with the one who's already up.
My name is Rudy Zupetz, a resident of Terrain, and no financial interest. The question was already asked as far as timeline. Starting with infrastructure, it sounds like the spring, and then no home builder was my understanding yet identified. And then market conditions. My question, I guess, would be, under current market conditions, can we get some kind of timeline? 2 to 5 years, 5 to 10 years? Just hearing no real timeline. Obviously, we're not going to hold you to it, but ballpark figure, based on current market, I'd be interested in. Thank you.
Thank you. And I believe we have at least one more. Please.
Darren Zahner, I am a member of the Macanta community. I live in a cul-de-sac area that looks out over onto this property areas out here. I have a concern, and it's been also voiced already, about the number of homes that are pushed back along that gully area. It is a wildlife area, and some of those, there's large flat areas where the elk do come and graze daily, large amounts of elk. And this community is gonna gobble all those areas up. And this wildlife corridor they're talking about, it's a fallacy. It's too deep. They come up and graze in that flat area. So some of those homes right in the middle, the yellow is taking up all that space where they're habitating currently. That's it.
Thank you. Anyone else? We've got one more.
Hello, my name is Jeff Katzman, and I just moved a few months ago. We just bought a house just south of this map on Crimson Sky. And I'm wondering I'm not sure if you guys already answered this question, I missed it, but is there any plans for the commercial zone? Like, is there gonna be a clubhouse there, a gas station? Any idea what's gonna be put there? So that's my question.
Thank you. And if I were an auctioneer, we'd have driven the price up quite high by this point. Do we have anyone else? All right, thank you. As a reminder, this is a comment time. We will address those issues that we might have a reason from the commission to address, and maybe ask some other things. But as a reminder, this was a public comment time, so we appreciate your effort. And with that, do we have any commission members with final questions of staff for the applicant before we close public comment and refer this to the commission for recommendation?
Chairman Wormke, would you like us to address any of the questions that were?
Yeah, could you, a couple of those would be great. I know the comment was made earlier about the commercial and just now, and I know that they hadn't said there was any plans for that yet at this point, correct?
Yeah, and I'll let the applicant can come forward and speak to that, and then I'm happy to answer the questions related to sidewalk.
Okay.
And add in any information on the current market rate, like how many single-family homes are doing.
Right.
But I'll go ahead and let the applicant first start with the commercial, and then maybe address the wildlife study.
Yeah.
Dates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do my best on them. Sorry, and I'll leave the sidewalk to Crowfoot and maybe the realignment of Castle Oaks for you.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So with respect to the commercial, yes, no plans for now. However, the approved PDP, obviously a public document, has a bunch of information included within it with the vision for what that commercial property could be, and it lays it out. And I know that was worked on by the previous landowner with the town as they worked through the PDP. So there is some information in that PDP about the vision for the commercial area, but as of right now, no plans for it, and it's not part of this SDP. It would need to come forward with its own and go through the whole public process. So there'll be plenty of time for involvement in that process in the future when that does come forward. A couple of the other ones I heard, the timeline, and just talking to the applicant, it could start, assuming approvals go through, as early as March of next year. And a guesstimate on, you know, market condition-wise, guesstimate on timeline could be 5 years to get through, build out, at least with this residential phase and the parks and such. With respect to the wildlife study, I don't know the exact date off the top of my head. Let me start with that, but it would have been required and approved in conjunction with the annexation and rezoning, which was approved in 2023. So I don't know what the date.
Manner, and it's we were ready to just accept the cash and move for now. But that is a portion of it. Also, I think a question was asked about other bicycle connectivity and paved connectivity. But yeah, the road up to Macanta will be paved and does have sidewalk on, I think, one side. I don't actually recall if there's sidewalk in the county section. But both sides. Thank you. The engineer, I'm looking at the planner. Thank you, Brian. So there's paved connections that would avoid, that you could utilize on a bicycle to avoid going out on Founders Parkway, for sure. And then their main spine road infrastructure also goes and connects on the east side to Castle Oaks Drive. They're required to provide the connection to Castle Oaks Drive. That section of Castle Oaks Drive has a different alignment in the future where it goes a little more to the west. It curves closer to their property. That is the obligation of the terrain developer for their very last phase. And they are aware of that, but have not moved forward with the final site plan area that would trigger that. So there will be pavement connecting them, but it's not this development's obligation to realign it. And that's really just how our contractual agreements went with both different developers during annexations. So, and then I think I also wanted to touch on just market conditions, just so folks are aware of town-wide. The market does go up and down for building permits and to when new homes are constructed. Currently this year, in 2025, we'll probably end the year with only issuing about 250 or 260 new homes town-wide. And so this development's 515. If interest rates were to go down and development pick back up, it would probably be some time before we were back over 400 or 500 single-family permits a year. And again, that's town-wide. So you could see that just a portion of those would be in this development. So,
all right.
Is there anything else?
I have a follow-up question.
All right.
So I think it's a fair concern being brought up about Macanta Boulevard. Thinking about the people that live on the north side of this project, right? And if they work in Parker or Aurora or they go to the airport, I could see some percentage of people driving that road. And I'm wondering if the traffic study it'd be hard to kind of like measure traffic going into this community at this point because there's no traffic, but projected if 10% of at full occupancy people were driving this road, is that road sufficient? You know, and it's a hypothetical, but I think it's an interesting just conversation. And I wonder if it would make some sense to run a hypothetical model and say, oh, maybe what we need to add to prevent people from doing that is I hate speed bumps, and I know everybody in here hates speed bumps, but would that make a difference, right? That little improvement on the road. So, I don't want to open up a can of worms, but I do think it's a fair concern, and as a planning commission, I think we need to be able to hear what the public has to say too and be responsible. And as a builder developer, I appreciate these things. And I've been on the other side of it, so I'm like, thanks for bringing this up. But it is a fair concern. And I just wonder if even in a hypothetical model, even at 10% or whatever percentage is right, is there a concern about traffic on Mankanta from this project? So.
Yeah, now Chris McGranahan can answer that. There is a slide that shows that percent split at the AM PM peak.
Yeah, that was the slide that we had up earlier, but
if I'm getting his question correct.
That might have been when I was late.
It might have been when you were stuck in traffic on
I-25. Well, I'll say
on Mankanta. Just kidding.
This is basically gleaned out of the traffic study. This specific figure is not in the traffic study, but that's where all the information comes from. So our traffic study assumed 20% of our traffic from the residents would go up Crowfoot towards the Parker area. Not all 20% is going to go this way, but the people that live on the north end of our project probably will, and that's the intent. You have a collector roadway that connects Crowfoot to Castle Oaks with no driveways on it. When we don't provide parallel collectors to arterials, everybody uses the arterials or finds their way through neighborhoods. Yeah. This is a planned collector roadway that is intended to connect not only us to Crowfoot and to Castle Oaks and to Founders, but connect terrain to Crowfoot and Mankanta to Castle Oaks. So there's connectivity everywhere and much better. And so the idea is to help preserve Founders and to provide redundant connectivity for fire. Obviously fire isn't very important. It's also important that people have options. So the whole idea, I wouldn't call traffic on our collector roadway cut through its intended. It's a collector roadway for a reason. It's meant to draw more traffic than a residential street, but less than the highway. And so we're trying to protect Founders Parkway by having a nice connection between these three large developments that border the highway. The way we have Founders fall apart quicker is that we have every big project have their own access in and out, and that's the only way in and out. And so everybody has to drive on the highway to go a mile down the street. This way, folks have an option. They don't have to get on the highway. We think a lot of them will, but this just gives an option, particularly to the folks on the very fringes of our project, that maybe it's that person that lives in the north end of our project maybe sneaks out through McCann to go to Parker in the morning.
Yeah, so, and I think it's a hot button because ultimately I think all of us that love and live here, you know, we've seen the increase in traffic and, you know, home building and development is just inevitable. But, you know, the growth out in Franktown and how people are accessing Castle Rock, like it's incredible the amount of growth we're seeing, which is awesome. But at the same time,
the development agreement for Crystal Valley Ranch, in the event the district does not intend to use the site and they notify the town, the property then reverts back to the original owner, the property owner, in this case, is also one of the developers of Crystal Valley Ranch. So during that reconveyance back to the developer, a number of planning or town council meetings were held, and that's where most of the input was gathered. In addition to the opportunity Tuesday night for the neighborhood meeting, but that's where most of the public input was gathered about this reverting back to its residential zoning and the owner's intent to move forward with that. Okay. So really the purpose of this rezoning is to really accommodate the direction from town council through the conveyance process, and that was to provide a larger buffer between this new residential development and the planning area just to the east of its boundaries, which is already developed, and to essentially shift the developable area for this planning area a little bit further to the west. So in order to accomplish that, the council basically approved an agreement with the developer that the town would enter into a swap of property, if you will. The blue area represented on this map is about 0.915 acres, just short of an acre, of land. It's a 45-foot width strip of land that is on the east side of Rhyolite Park. The town is going to swap that and convey that to the developer. In return for that, the developer is adding 0.9 acres of open space, which is represented in red, within their development. They also have additional open space planned around that, but that just helps provide them a wider buffer between the new two neighborhoods, which is what the public and council agreed they wanted to see. And it shifts what's developable in this planning area a little bit to the west. Okay, make sure I've got everything covered on that. The area that is kind of hatched out in the middle here, I just wanted to point out in this planning area 3A, is an area of minor skyline, ridgeline requirements. So the building height there is 35 feet, but there will be additional mitigation requirements when the site development plan comes forward. And if this is not entirely encompassed by open space, that will be applied with the site plan. Okay, so as with any other plan development amendment, we are bound by the criteria in the municipal code that looks at basically these six areas: community vision, the town's master plan, if you will, land use entitlements. This is consistent with exactly how the property is zoned now. And I should mention that that strip, 45-foot strip that is being rezoned, it's going from PLD to residential, just exactly the same requirements, permitted uses, development standards as exist right now for planning area 3A. So nothing is changing about the zoning. They're just adding this 45-foot strip, and the PD plan is now calling out and committing public land dedication on the east side, which was the area in red. We look at relationship to the surrounding area, circulation, connectivity. One of the other elements that you won't see until the site development plan comes forward, but connections between road extensions between the existing neighborhood and this new neighborhood will be eliminated, and there will be cul-de-sacs so that there won't be through streets connecting the existing neighbors. Service phasing, off-site impacts. Really no change. The developable area remains about 21 acres. That doesn't change. The zoning doesn't change. The density allowances don't change. Open space, public land, recreational amenities, nothing was required to be dedicated with this. That was done with the original plan development, except for the fact that there is a new area carved out within that development that must be located on its east boundary and be left as open space or public land. And preservation of natural features, nothing identified at this time any different than with the original zoning of Crystal Valley Ranch. Oops, I jumped a little forward. So the staff has found that it meets the objectives of the town vision and comprehensive master plan. The rezoning is consistent with the current zoning and planned use for this property, and it complies with the zoning criteria for amending a plan development. Staff recommends that town council or the planning commission recommend to town council approval of this rezoning as proposed. And I can answer any questions that I might have zipped through too quickly with the information.
So since you are the applicant, we're going to assume we've already got that part done.
Thank you.
But if I could summarize this, what you want us to imagine is there's a small Andreas fault right there. There's a small little earthquake, and everything shifted 45 feet this way.
True. More or less, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. We have no one signed up, correct? Do you want me to read this? Thank you. Do any commission members have any final questions of staff or applicant?
Would you ask, though, if there is any public that wants to speak?
Is there any public? Sorry. We do have public here. Do you want to step forward and speak, please?
I do have one question.
Thanks.
Please? All right. Do you have any staff questions for staff?
I have a question. And it may be I'm missing something obvious here.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want the cul-de-sacs and not want a street that connects the neighborhoods?
From a planning standpoint, we would. Based on the input we received during the four different hearings, town council had regarding the conveyance of this property back to the developer. That was a consistent comment during the public comment period before council. And I wasn't at those, but I will defer to Ms. Vargas, who was.
Sandy, you did a great job. It really was a, they could develop the property as it is today. However, they are, the property owner is working with us to shift it to the west and have agreed to do a cul-de-sac to help appease some of the neighbors immediately to the east. Hmm. So, and that is what council directed us to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I just wanted to add, there will be EVAs, emergency vehicle access between the end of those cul-de-sacs and the adjacent neighborhood as need be and determined by the fire department at time of the SDP.
Okay. I do have a follow-up question for staff.
Yes.
Regarding the school district and the decision not to move ahead with the school.
Yes.
Is that, two questions though, is that final? And what led to that decision? And how, I don't know, does the need shifted to a different part of town? I want to understand like the impact on the community long term, right?
Oh, okay.
If you're at Liberty, yeah.
So the decision, I can't speak for the district. The development agreement specifically called out that this property was to be dedicated to the town and held for a potential future school site. However, the DA goes on to stipulate that if at any point the district determined that they were not going to use this site and notified the town in writing of that, then the property must then be conveyed from the town back to the owner. I will say that there is a school site at the very south end of Loop Road. I believe Rhyolite Park has a school allow, is a use that is allowed there. So there's already two potential, one for sure at the south end, whenever the district decides or the voters decide to provide the money for the district to build a school. There is also a school site in Lanterns, and then there are school sites identified in Dawson Trails in terms of southern Castle Rock. We can all see the development that's taking place on the north side of Castle Rock as well as Castle Pines, and I know that there are school sites and high school sites actually identified in Castle Pines. So that is a decision. The district goes through their own kind of demographic studies from time to time and where they anticipate they'll need new elementary, middle, and high school. So we are just responding to the district's determination and abiding by the contractual agreements of the development agreement. And it is final, yes, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. There was no provision for the district to then 5 years from now come back and say, whoops, we really wanted that. So did you have another question or?
No, I do appreciate the answer though. I know a lot of stuff is out of the hands of the town. So.
Okay.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. You're welcome.
Any others? I do have a question. SDP, when do we expect that?
I don't know exactly when. The neighborhood meeting that was held on Tuesday night, Tara presented on behalf of the town and this initiative to rezone this property, this strip, I should say. The applicant was also present, and they presented their first neighborhood meeting presentation on the site development plan. So I anticipate usually we see that submittal fairly close after that first neighborhood meeting has been held. I don't
So it is in yeah. flight, in essence.
What's that?
It is in flight. They're working on something.
They are working on something. There are the conditions, such as this open space or PLD in red, and the streets not connecting. Some of those are laid out in this agreement that town council entered into with the developer. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All right, then I now close the public hearing and bring the item back to commission for any further discussion and a motion. Should we start with a motion?
recommend approval of Crystal Valley Ranch Plan Development Plan Zoning Regulation Amendment Number 7 to Town Council.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Recording Secretary, roll call vote, please.
Chair Warnke.
Aye.
Vice Chair McHugh.
Aye.
Commissioner Martinez.
Aye.
Commissioner Salinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Stanley.
Aye.
And Commissioner Sullen.
Aye.
Motion is approved by a vote of 6-0. Thank you. Moving on. The Commissioner now hear updates from our liaison. Do we have someone filling the role of?
I can speak to that.
Awesome.
What was this, town council updates? I was having two conversations at once. Okay, yes. So I'm trying to think, the last town council meeting last week, I think that was just a week ago, we did approve the Unity on Wolfensberger site development plan that you all recommended approval for your last meeting. So that is the conversion of the old Quality into the Wellsprings 24 units of housing. So that project is moving forward. So that's really the only update I have for you from council. Thank you.
Fantastic.
And I should say that Mayor Gray was unable to join us tonight because he is at the State of the Counties program tonight. So please know that otherwise he would have been here.
Do they have as cool a movie as we have when it's our turn? When
no.
We do town? That's what I figured.
I don't know. I'm not there. But it's unlikely that it could be as amazing as our State of the Town video.
Yeah, he did state he had to participate, though, so.
Oh. Right up his alley then, right?
Did the parking study get presented? I know Jason was talking about that.
Oh, the downtown?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, so they're actually going to go out, if not all, I haven't seen, it's out. So they have sent out another survey. So, you know, they've got some initial information and informed some of the study. And so now part of the next step is to get some community feedback regarding potential strategies. So that is on the town's website. It can be accessed through the town's website. And I think that's going through, I don't know, the end of the month or, you know, for a couple of weeks, and then I would anticipate that's going to be presented January or February.
Cool.
Other questions? I am jumping ahead tonight, aren't I? Fortunately, the next item is for the cushiest alternative job on the entire Planning Commission. Design Review Board update. I understand we have none again.
Can't have an update without a meeting, so.
All right. Check quorums for next upcoming meetings. Obviously, the 25th is canceled. January 8th, any known issues?
That should be good.
And January 22nd, any known issues? All right. You might have an issue for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Other than that, looks good. All right. Items from staff.
Yeah, just had one quick update item. The early bird sign-up for the Rocky Mountain Land Use Institute is currently available, and this is a conference that is held up at Denver University. Staff, typically, we send a couple members of staff, and we've in the past offered it up to any planning commissioners who may be interested in. It's a land use conference. It's 2 days, March 5th through the 6th, and I will be sending the information in an email probably tomorrow or Monday. So if you are interested, we're happy to pay for registration and have you participate.
I'll be there.
All right.
Anything else? And I will look slowly around the room this time before I move on to the next item.
Actually, real quick.
Yeah.
How's your first couple months been? It's been a little busy, but it's been great, and we'll be hopefully getting a few more staff members. And but Brianna and Sandy have been just doing a great job carrying the load. So
great, glad you're in the role. Yeah, congrats, by the way.
Yeah, congrats.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we did not set a record tonight. The time is now 7:36.
A little chatty tonight. Sorry.
And we are adjourned.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Yeah, take your next meeting off.
Yeah.
Is this ours?
Yeah.
The theme this year is Queen and Jack both.
Yeah.
Great job up there, boss.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming tonight. Sometimes we get very
go back and get my chips, I guess, huh?
Yeah.